Today on Real Life Radio.
The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, the sexual bed of the married couple is undefiled. What does that mean? Love each other. And when you do, you shut the door down on Satan trying to get in.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. We all know that life is full of noise. The TV is on with news you often can't trust, dishes are clanging in the kitchen, and blaring sounds of rush hour traffic whiz by. It's enough to make your head spin, really. But it doesn't always have to be that way. We have special programming that can really soften the day's hectic pace. It's our Real Life Network. It's designed to give you relevant, life-changing programming for the whole family that you really can trust. Titles like Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire, Washington Watch by Tony Perkins, Happening Now with Pastor Jack, and Star Spangled Adventures for the Little Patriots. You can relax and enjoy entertainment for the whole family. The Real Life Network, it's available on your favorite device anytime, anywhere, so don't miss a moment that really can enrich your life with shows that inspire instead of wear you down. Sign up today for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, To Tell the Truth. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and it's a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, the church in Corinth lived their life very differently from the truth of the gospel. So Paul challenges that church to line up their faith with their actions. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that others will know we're telling the truth about our faith in Jesus simply by our actions. Is there enough evidence in the way we live our lives that will find us guilty of being a follower of Jesus Christ? That's a pretty good question. Now, with his message called To Tell the Truth, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Promiscuity, that is sexual indulgences outside the sanctity of marriage, which God says these are the rules, it leaves a mark. Now listen to me. I'm being a little bit sarcastic here. You can go rob a bank. You can go steal a horse. You can go speeding. You can do like me and get pulled over by the highway patrol yesterday because I didn't have my headlights on in the snow. I didn't know that was a rule, but you can sin against the law, and you can go to jail, or you can get a ticket, you can be in trouble. Okay? The Bible says when you sin sexually, it is spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. You guys, if I get a ticket, I go pay my fee. And I'm forgiven. And after the insurance, I don't know how that thing works, but you know, you're not marked, you go to school and it's off your ticket and you're fine, okay, whatever. You can't do that with sexual immorality. And it leaves a mark. And it can only be broken by Jesus. And with that, a constant application of Jesus. Okay? Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. Before I knew Jesus, I knew everybody. God can set you free. And I'm telling you something right here, right now. It will affect how you think. It affect how you look at people. It affect the value of life. And when you yield your body over to somebody else, you are literally, as it were, walking into a temple of Aphrodite or Diana or Zeus. And you're presenting yourself in an act of worship. You say, that's ridiculous. I would never do that. Oh, no. Why are you doing that? For my own pleasure, I'm doing it. Uh-huh. For my own sense of worth and value. Uh-huh. For my own appreciation. Uh-huh. That's what you tell yourself. But in time, you will wake up and realize that was not the truth. The world lies to us, my friends, and so does our body and its appetites. This is serious stuff. Sexual immorality is a spiritual sin. That's why a young woman, it's so sad to see, but it's very easy to see. With a young woman, whoever was with that woman first leaves an impressionable mark upon her for the rest of her life. Why? It's a spiritual bond. And the world will not talk about this. A man holds it in a different way. He processes it differently. Don't present yourself as a playground to the world, and don't justify your actions in the name of religion. Thirdly, under this point, where do you like to spend your time? Is it at the altar? Is it at the altar of God? He says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Oh my goodness, how beautiful is that? This is the entering in, as it were, of the Lord's house. It was something. I don't have time to talk about this, church, but think about it. You're reading the Old Testament right now with me as we go through the scriptures together every day. And listen, remember the people are preparing to present the articles for the temple and for the worship and the tabernacle and all of the details and all of the offerings and all of the blood of the sacrifice of the lamb and all of this stuff, all of this stuff. What was God saying in all of it? That the absolute detail of all these things point to Jesus, and the amazing stuff that goes on is what a human is to do to enter the presence of God. And you read the Old Testament, you go, this is crazy. It's so bloody. It's so this and that and what you have to wear. And why did God do that? For this one reason, to fulfill all of those demands through one person, Jesus Christ. That when you embrace Jesus, you go, wait a minute, he's the one that we were speaking about? He's the one of great detail? He's the one that accomplishes all of that? Yep, I want him. Amen. You don't have to have 5,000 rams and goats and bulls and priests and offerings. Jesus, amen. It's Jesus. Do you have him? If you have him, you don't need religion. You've got the God of the universe in your heart and in your life. And that will buoyant your heart above all the stuff that mankind can make up. Go to the altar. Be joined to God. Be joined to Christ. Every day is that altar. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. That's talking about the altar. And then third and final point, it is this. To tell the truth, verses 18 to 20, how can we know if you're telling the truth? How can we know? Number 18, or verse 18, how fast can you run? Mark that down. How do we know if you say you're a Christian, how can we know if you're telling the truth? Well, my first question is, how fast can you run? See, why do you say that? Look at verse 18, you guys. You see the word flee? We get the English word fugitive from this word in Greek. Fugitive. To flee. So my question is, are you a real Christian? How fast can you run? And I'm not talking physical. Flee sexual immorality. You guys all know by now, I don't want to say this. I'm sick of hearing about it, and I'm sick of people battling with it. Do you understand that word means everything sexually immoral? Everything. Okay? If you're a couple dating and you strip in that corner and she strips in that corner and you don't think that's sexual immorality, because that's what I've been told, Pastor, you're wrong. We don't touch each other. She just stands over there and I stand over there. Are you kidding me? Did you know this word sexual immorality covers pornography, because the very word is pornea? Sexual immorality. Flee from it. Run. Make yourself a fugitive from sexual immorality. You say, Jack, I can't do that. That's why you have the Holy Spirit available to you. And when you love Jesus, you're going to hate the things he hates. Somebody might get the wrong picture here. Well, so you saying I become a Christian and have no sex ever again. You become a Christian and keep yourself until you get married. And then I can't find anywhere in the Bible, except one verse in the Bible, a husband and wife are to have sex all the time. Except one portion of scripture says, only agree, both of you have to agree, to fast and pray and abstain for fasting and prayer, but then quickly come back together lest Satan tempt you. What does that mean? Read between the lines. That means Satan is out tempting every couple, every husband and wife, constantly. So how do you shut him down? Our God invented sex. Don't say that. He invented sex. He put it in marriage. This is where it works. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, the sexual bed of the married couple is undefiled. What does that mean? Love each other. And when you do, you shut the door down on Satan trying to get in. And some silly goofball Christians use sex in a marriage like a weapon, not knowing you've played right into the hands of Satan. Well, my husband's such a grump. Well, you know what? Maybe you should take him on a date. Well, my wife, you know what? Well, why don't you be nice to her? Be nice. Be her husband, not a bonehead. Treat her with respect. Love her. By the way, 1,200 people showed up Friday night for the love and respect gathering. You should be here if you're not here.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
So I didn't want anybody to get the wrong picture. Well, you Christians don't have sex except to have kids. Listen, the Christian should have the best sex on the planet. Instead, the world redefines it and makes it all goofball porn crazy. And they say, this is the way that it is. Man, we need to step up and say, you know what? You don't even know what you're talking about. My God made it. My God gave me my husband or my wife. And you ain't going to take pictures of it. You ain't going to know about it. You can just wonder, dude, because the truth is my God rocks and our Christianity works and he's the great designer. And the marriage should be the strongest model in the world about what God wants to do. There should be nothing stronger in this planet than the unification of a husband and a wife in Jesus Christ as man and wife. Amazing. But the church is so far from that. We need to run and flee. Samson did not run. He flirted. Well, you know, if you just tie my hands up with green ropes, then all my power will go from me. So she tries that. Hello, first clue. Hello, Samson. She wants to destroy you. He wakes up. What are these green straps around my arms? Hey, you're trying to steal all my power. I know. If you do this with me, and if you go and so she does that, try to trick him. And then the guy just finally, he's playing with fire. He winds up and says, well, you know, honestly, the strength's in my hair. I have a vow with God. Everybody knows the strength's not in the hair, but he had a vow with God. God says, listen, this is our deal, you and I. Don't cut your hair. It's a symbol of my power in your life. First words out of Samson's life in the book of Judges is, I saw a woman in Timnah. Mom, dad, get her for me. That's his first words in the Bible. Samson. And look what happened to Samson. Got his hair cut. Lost his life. Versus somebody who knew how to flee. Joseph. The Bible says in Genesis, mark it down, Genesis 39, the Bible tells us that Potiphar's wife, the guy that Joseph worked for, Potiphar's wife, day after day, cast longing eyes upon him. Joseph. Longing eyes. Look it up. I'm not joking. Longing. Joseph. 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 I can't reach that pitcher. Can you help me? Joseph. Oh, look, Joseph, I dropped my cup. Can you pick it up for me? Constantly, the Bible says, over and over again every day, she's casting longing eyes at him. And then she says, that's it. She sent all her servants out and she started to take her clothes off. Joseph. He says, do you expect me to touch my boss's property plus sin against my God and do this great evil? Nope. And he ran. He physically ran. That's amazing, awesome man of God. Amen. Samson, you know, maybe a little curl. Joseph, not a chance. Authority. Verse 19. Do you have authority over you? How can we know if you're telling the truth? How fast can you run? Do you run from evil? Number two, listen, do you have authority over you? It's a trick question. He says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God and you're not your own? Dr. Alan Redpath says, no man can have the grace of God while rejecting the government of God. the Holy Spirit, does he govern your life? The answer to the question is, do you have authority over your life? The answer is no, God does. If you and I have authority over our lives, that's why we are a pathetic Christian witness, because we're still in charge. Galatians 2:19 says, through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, yet it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died in vain. Translation, because Jesus died on the cross, salvation, eternal life, and the power to walk the life comes from Christ. Amen. Finally here, verse 20. How can we know if you're telling the truth? Do you remember how I told you the game show? They began to get ready to stand up, and will the real Joe Johnson stand up? And then finally, let me ask you this. Can you stand up? Can you stand up? For he says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the question would go, will the real Christian stand up, please? In Corinth, people were asking, will the real Christian stand up? And could anybody stand up? Could someone who knows the gospel and lives the gospel stand up, please? We want to believe. We want to see a real believer. We want to see a real Christian. And that's why the world out there makes fun of us today. They can't find any. At least they're not looking. Can you stand up? He says. I end with this last portion of scripture. We're all done with this. James 2:17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. This means it's not real faith. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there's, I love this. You believe that there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. The word means tremble, goose skin. You ever seen a naked turkey in your sink or at the grocery store with the bumps on it? Demons, when they think of Jesus, they get goose skin. How cool is that? They tremble at the thought of Jesus. He says, they tremble, but look. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac as his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made complete or perfect. Amen. We're done. Church, we do it. We preach it. We read it. We do it. Let's pray. Father, I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, right here, right now, God, that you would galvanize these people, that it would be almost as were hot molten metal would flow out of heaven and pour upon these lives here and now. All of us, Lord, coating us, shielding us, giving us that suit for the race, the armament for the battle. For the days in which we live, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would sweep across this sanctuary of people, God, filling them with your Holy Spirit, anointing them with your power, and God, challenging us from this moment on, day by day, to be ready to have the Holy Spirit oil, as it were, filled up in our lamps, burning bright, waiting for the coming of the Lord. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if anybody today, this has rang true to your heart, and you are today saying, I have experienced God somehow in this place. This makes sense to me. And I want to know that if I died and went into eternity, that I would go to heaven. And I also have heard today that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I heard today that he rose from the dead, which was the greatest triumph that God will ever expose mankind to. And that I can be saved by putting my faith in what Jesus has done. I need to be forgiven. And maybe you've got baggage, sexual sin baggage, arrogant pride baggage. I don't know. Is it anger baggage? And today the Spirit has spoken to you and you're saying, I need forgiveness. And I want to start my life over today, right now. If that's you today, heads bowed, eyes closed, I'll look across this room. You can raise your hand, which is your public declaration. Public, because I'm watching. It doesn't say how many people have to see this. But you're saying today, Pastor, I agree with that. I'm a sinner and I want to be saved today. That is, I want my life changed today. I want to give God control. Raise your hand high if that's what you're doing today. God bless you in the back. Wow, not much of a hesitation. That's awesome. The two of you right there, one of you here, one right up front. Anyone else? Over here to my right, God bless you. Anyone else? The battle's going on the inside. You know you should do this right now, but you're not doing it. Maybe sex has blinded you outside of marriage. You're thinking if you raise your hand, she won't like you anymore. Let me tell you, my friends, you guys have been living a lie and you don't know even what the truth is. You need to find out the truth. Face it, take it. It's awesome and be set free. Anybody, if it's your love for money, if it's your education, that is your God. And you're thinking, I can't do this. People will think I'm stupid. I'd rather be in heaven with people down here thinking I'm stupid than be in hell and be lost for my own arrogance. Anyone else? Raise your hand now if that's you. God bless you. Anyone else? Awesome. And you. God bless you and you. Praise the Lord. Father, for these today confessing that Jesus, you, Lord, they are welcoming into their lives you now. Father, just like you did with me, just like you did with all these others, may their lives never be the same. Fill them now with your Spirit, and in the next matter of hours, we remember that profound change in our worldview. Wow. God, thank you. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called To Tell the Truth. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So today you heard an altar call at the end of the message. And I'd like to let you know that just because it was on the radio, it doesn't make it any less real. If you felt God move in your life today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we'd love to know about it and we'd like to help you out with some resources. Visit jackhibbs.com and there's a tab there that says Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com.
Looking for an inspiring way to pass some time? Or maybe just need some help to get through your workday? How about listening while you work? The Jack Hibbs podcast brings you real stories, real people with real life experiences. From inspiring journeys to thought-provoking conversations, we've got it all. So discover a world of knowledge, laughter, and connection. The Jack Hibbs podcast and so much more are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
Hey, everybody, I just kind of want to let you in behind the scenes a little bit while at the same time really calling upon all of you throughout the world that listen to this program. Behind the scenes means this, that the church I have the honor of pastoring here in Southern California, every single week, every single service, there are visitors from other parts of the world that have come to just sit with us and to go through the Word of God together. It's so sweet and it's such a special time. And the reason why we're coming together in one geographical location on that any given Sunday or Wednesday night is the fact that it's the Word of God. They have come to enjoy a service in person. Well, for most of us, you and I cannot do that. But you know what? The wonderful producers here on this program had this great idea. How about you and I adopting a topic and praying about that topic each month? So for example, starting this month, I want to invite you to pray with me that God's truth would prevail. How's that? That God's truth would prevail in elections, in our health challenges, that God's truth would prevail in our marriage, with our children, our grandchildren. Let's pray this month for God's truth to be not compromised, but exalted, not dissed or pushed away, but obeyed. Let's pray for God's truth.
Let's start now, all this month, together. So let's do that. Let's pray for God's truth to prevail. Father, we come before you now and we ask you, Lord, to take absolute sovereign control over our lives and all that we come in contact with in this world that you've placed us in. So, Father, we pray that truth would never be sacrificed on the altar of unity or of temptation or compromise or anything whatsoever, but your truth would prevail in all things regarding our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.